your pardon. I must protest until they bind and shackle the tormented and on. Good will deliver the right and the march on strong.
Welcome to the program this evening. Glad to have you tuning in today. Here we are looking at the 10th of September already. Wow, this month is moving on. And I'm glad you're here, and we're here with the word of the Lord, I believe, tonight for you. And hopefully you'll be blessed by what we're going to share. And open up with some news as we start out this evening. Some good news, some not so good. But still, things that are interesting to know. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem bans at-home, do-it-yourself, telemedicine abortion. Did you even know there was such a thing? A lot of people aren't even aware that there is such a thing. She also regulates chemical abortions in the state as well. Abortion pill providers are on the rise in the country, in case you didn't know about that. Ohio governor signed telemedicine abortion ban into law also, so not just Kristi Noem, but also governor of Ohio also is against this telemedicine abortion thing. We stand against it too. We don't believe in it. We believe that every child in the womb has a right to live. Got to get rid of them. They might have mental problems or something. No. Don't know what God's going to do with that child. President Trump launched his new National Faith Advisory Board with Paula White at the helm. So, yeah, that Sean Fuchs, you know, who goes around the country holding his worship gatherings and Power of God gatherings, he went to on September 11, went to D.C. and invited four presidents to come, and only one took him up on it. I guess you can guess which that one is, probably. Yeah, President Trump. He came and made himself available. None of the others even responded, of course. And Pelosi's archbishop defends Texas pro-life law. That's right. Pelosi's archbishop. So Pelosi claims to be a Catholic. He says you can't be a good Catholic, though, and support abortion. Well, I hope that spoke to Pelosi. I hope she was listening to that because she's a big abortion advocate. Parents sue California to stop chants to Aztec gods in ethnic studies curriculum. That's right. They're having them chant the Aztec God. What do you think that's doing? It's bringing out demons. Demons into the area. Demons into the school. Demons into the children who are chanting. What good is that doing? It's not doing any good. It's doing a lot of evil. Releasing spirits that some of them perhaps have not been active for a while, but they're being released as they activate them through their chants. Chinese Communist Party banned tribute to Christian martyrs. You cannot give any tribute to the Christian martyrs. Okay? They demand that the churches pray for dead communist soldiers only. They cannot give any tribute to those who died for their faith in Christ Jesus. Yeah, well, what do you think? You know, it's going to be the church-run church, and it's already there, and the real church is having to go underground in China because the state church is a compromise church that has to bow to the Communist Party. Kanye West's second gospel-themed hip-hop album, Donda, the name of it, soared to number one Monday this week on multiple mainstream charts, including on Amazon and iTunes, where it was the best-selling album barely 24 hours after it was released. So is it possible that some people want to hear gospel music, or is it really gospel music what we're hearing from Kanye West? Or is it something else? That's a good question. And so I haven't really listened to it, so I don't know if it's real gospel music or just something that doesn't build up and edify. But I have heard him play some that were fairly good before, but can't tell you for sure. So I'm not going to comment on that. Leftists destroy memorial honoring U.S. service members killed in Afghanistan. All right, the police are looking for thugs who vandalized the flag hung to honor the fallen American heroes in Riverside, California, is where that happened. And so they just destroyed. I looked at the pictures of those. There's a lot of flags there, and they just destroyed it. You know, ripped through them, destroyed a bunch of them. Yeah, sad to see that they don't respect, you know, people who died, even though maybe we shouldn't have been over there, but still they died doing what they thought was, you know, defending the country and all of that. So anyway, 3/4 of unvaxxed Americans would quit their job if shot is required, according to a poll by the Washington Post and ABC News. Only 16% of unvaccinated workers would get a COVID shot if it were required by their job. So that tells you a lot of people are not trusting in that vaccination. They're not depending on whatever the government tells them is good, right? Which a lot of people do. They think, well, the government has our best in mind. Well, when have they had your best in mind? I was furious. Mom was enraged, she said. She was furious after learning her fourth grade teacher of her child taped a face mask to her 9-year-old son in front of the classroom as other students laughed. That's right, Reedham Elementary School in Mountain Edge, Nevada, where this happened. Just because the child was not wearing a mask and they taped one to his face and embarrassed him in front of the whole class, made him stand up there. And so the mother is upset about that and seeing what she could do about this teacher that did such a thing as that. Anyway, that's pretty much a lot of the news that I want to share tonight and all of it that I want to share. We're going to move on now into prayer time, and then we're going to get into the word tonight. That we've got a good word for you. I believe it will help you and help you deal with the things going on possibly in your life or someone you know's life if they're willing to hear it. Taking a drink here of water. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We give you glory. We give you praise for another opportunity tonight to share your word, Lord, and to deliver the ministry of deliverance to your people who want to receive from. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We just cover the place that I'm at with the blood of Jesus, the room that we're in, and everything that around us. We cover us, our residents, everything with the blood of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. We loose the mighty warring angel into this room and throughout the message, that they would release the word into people's lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. People would receive what you want them to receive, Father. Thank you for ministering, Father. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for grace, Lord, abundance of grace. Thank you for victory. Thank you for spiritual turnarounds in people's lives. Thank you for freedom from bondages. Father, the people of God don't have to stay in bondage to demons. And Lord, we pray against every wicked spirit that would try to hinder or block or do something to aggravate the program in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, we bind those spirits. And we just thank you now that you will have your way tonight, Father. And Lord, we pray for, Lord, every righteous person that listened to this program and those that have not yet been made righteous, that they would get born again, Father, and ask Jesus into their heart and turn from their sins, ask you to forgive them for their sins, Lord, confess that they repent and turn away and be born again, Father. And for the righteous, Lord, we pray you bless them, Lord, for those who are already saved, those who are the righteous, those who are blessed of the Lord. And those who the Lord has his ear open to their prayers. The Bible says the ears of the Lord are open to the prayers of a righteous person. But they're not open to the lost. Unless it concerns salvation and getting saved, they're not open to them. But they are open to us, your righteous sons and daughters. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you that you hear our cry. You hear our prayers. You hear us as we cry out to God, Lord, for you to move on our behalf, Father. We thank you that you're doing great things now for each of us, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, that you never forget about us. You've graven us upon the palms of your hands. You promised that you have done that. But we believe you did it, Lord. And so we praise you for that too, Lord. We praise you for the power, Lord, in our lives, Father, supernatural manifestation of the power of God, Father. We thank you for spiritual breakthroughs, Father. Thank you, Lord, for turnarounds in situations that have seemed very difficult and without answer to the questions that people have had about them. Thank you, Lord, for turning things around and for your people, Lord, in the areas that we've cried out and prayed about, Lord, and wondered what's going to happen and, Lord, what can be done, Father. We know that you hear us. We know that, Lord, if we'll pray in faith, we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, Father. And we thank you for that too, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just saving our loved ones also, Lord, the ones that are not saved, that they will get saved, the ones that may be backslidden, so they will get right with you, Father, for your glory. We thank you for these things in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for answering prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Lead us and guide us that we might know what we should each do, that we will be led by the Spirit daily, Father. We pray for every listener that that would be their case, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you and thank you and give you all the glory tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen, amen, amen. All right, folks, are you ready? Are you ready to get into God's word tonight? I'm ready. Breaking the stronghold. That's the title tonight. Breaking the stronghold. I tell you, today you're going to be equipped. Amen? It's about equipping the saints, right? And so if a person is equipped, then he has what he needs to accomplish what he needs to accomplish, or she needs to accomplish. And they know how to use what they're equipped with. But the problem is today in the church, the church is not that we're not equipped. We are. But we don't know how to use what we're equipped with. A lot of Christians are just plain ignorant about the equipment they've been given. They're plain ignorant about all that God has blessed them with. And so we're in a situation here that we need to learn what we've been equipped with and learn how to use the equipment that we've been given. Equipping for warfare. Equipping for the overcoming life. God called us to be end-time overcomers, but if we're not, you know, using our equipment that we can overcome with, then we're obviously not going to live the overcoming life. But now in dealing with Satan's realm, there are two dangerous extremes that we can fall into. Number one, to think too much of Satan and his demons and to see him and his spirits in everything and everyone, and that he is stronger than God, even though you might not ever say that he's stronger than God. But the attitude that you have about these devils is that they're so strong, we just never can seem to get delivered, never can seem to get them out. They're just so powerful, these demons. See, that's the wrong attitude, see, folks, because we know that we have much more power and authority in Christ than the enemy has, okay? And also the other one is to not take him seriously enough and even to ignore him or deny that he could do anything to Christians. And so both of these are wrong. Both of these are unbalanced. They're not accurate, right? So we have at least two witnesses in the New Testament, though, that tell us that on an understanding of Satan's kingdom is essential to our spiritual authority. Let's look at that. Let's look at these two. Second Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Noema is the Greek word here. Okay? And it denotes a thought or the way one thinks, the mind. Satan should get an advantage, for we're not ignorant of his devices. See? Okay, so let's look at Ephesians 6:11. Look at another one. Ephesians 6:11, and we'll be talking a lot out of Ephesians tonight here. If you have your Bible, you can get there. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, so if you decide to ignore the realm of the enemy, then you are ignorant and unwise, because they're not going to ignore you. I guarantee you that. Okay? So ignoring the enemy doesn't make him go away. Some people have that superstition. They think that wrong belief, really, that if they ignore the devil, he's going to go away. But he doesn't go away, folks. He doesn't go away just because you ignored him. In fact, if you ignore him, they're going to have you for lunch. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and any kind of snack they want to, they'll have you for lunch. You can't ignore the devil and hope he's going to go away. That's just ignorance. Foolish religious ignorance, okay? 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that are pulling down of strongholds. Okay, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, let's bring this to where we live, all right? What are we dealing with right here, right now? What are we dealing with in your city, in your town? What are you dealing with there? What are we dealing with in believers and unbelievers? But first of all, we're going to look at unbelievers, strongholds and fortresses. Now, where are they at? Are they in a building somewhere? Well, they can hang out in a building sometime. Are they in good food? Well, they could be in a restaurant. That's right. Yeah. Are they at the local Walmart? Well, they could be there too, but can you see them? No, you can't see them, but you can see the results of them being there. Okay. But where they really are, the strongest is in people's minds, see? They're in the thoughts. They're in the mind. They're in the way one thinks. They're in the processes that go on in their mind. Okay? That's where they really want to be. And that's where they are primarily, even though they can inhabit buildings, they can inhabit your local Walmart, whatever, as well as the physical places, but they're in the mind. Notice verse verse 5, because these words apply to the mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Where are your thoughts at? In the mind, to the obedience of Christ. See? So this is talking about your mind. Okay? So, imaginations, reasonings, other versions of the Bible say arguments, speculations, and knowledge and thought. So where is the battleground? Of course, you know what a battleground is if you've been listening to the program any amount of time. The mind is a major battleground for every person on the face of the earth. Satan deliberately and systematically builds strongholds in people's minds, and that is what he's up to, and that is what he's doing. And he's getting away with it in so many today, and we're seeing the fruit of it in people's lives as they just go crazy with demons nowadays. And these strongholds resist the truth and the word of God in Christians and unbelievers, both, right? Unbelievers, you know, the Bible says their mind is taken captive by the devil at his will whenever he wants to, pretty much. In believer, it may be a little more of a battle, but still, they do that in believers too. So, a lot of things that they say, like tongues is of the devil, demons will tell a person that, or healing doesn't happen today, or your loved one's never going to get saved, or I don't believe in that stuff, and you don't believe in that stuff, right? But these are strongholds. Also, another one that's just certainly one is the offenses. He can sure control you by offenses. There's the two big ones, prejudice and preconception, but there's also offenses, so you got to be aware of that. Your mind gets offended. Oh, they shouldn't have said that about me, or they should, you know, they didn't treat me right, or, you know, all kinds of offenses. They said something I didn't like, didn't go with what I felt like. Prejudice, oh, that's another one. Prejudice is being down on what you're not up on, right? In other words, if you know nothing about it or don't understand it, it's sure to be wrong, and so you're prejudiced against it. And this is true especially of religious people, because if they haven't heard it, they view it with fear and suspicion, and they're critical of it. So in other words, don't confuse me with the facts, man. My mind is already made up, right? So, yeah, like the liberals today, right? Like the Antifa, like the people are driven and dominated by prejudice and preconception and offenses. And many times these things are simply to their own destruction, and people being destroyed because of these three things all the time, every day. People are. Oh, yeah. Many are being and will be destroyed from the inside out. It's happening. And I'm not talking just about unbelievers. Christians are being destroyed from the inside out. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That means in your flesh. There's some demons dwelling, right? And they're devouring you. If they can get away with it, they will. And so, yeah. Look, I mean, oh, a black cat is bad luck. Well, see, that's a lie. But see, these people have their preconceptions of things. But if I'm not good enough, then God will punish me. Well, another lie. Oh, the Holy Spirit is a dove. Well, no, the Holy Spirit wasn't a dove. He just came like a dove, but he wasn't a dove. See, these are things that people have preconceptions about. And there are strongholds in the mind that many people would never recognize. That's why they don't recognize their strongholds many times. For instance, there was a book called Three by Ted Decker come out a number of years ago about a person who thought someone was out to kill him. That's right. And I've known people who thought that. Yeah, because they're so demonized. I went to one person's house, and they were to do deliverance on them, and they were convinced I was there to kill them. That's what demons told them, see? They thought that I was sent to just take them out, you know? But, of course, that wasn't the case. I came there because they asked me to come and do deliverance for them. And now they thought this. And so see how demons can manipulate, especially when they're afraid of being cast out. But anyway, this book called Three, someone was out to kill him, he felt like, and so he hired a woman detective to help him find out who it was. anyway, the whole book is about things happening to him by these three supposed people that were involved in his life and his interactions with each one of them. Well, at the end of the book, you find out all three were only him. And he didn't even know it was all him at all. He thought there were three individuals. And the conversations he had with the woman detective, the calls on the cell phone, the accidents, and the things that happened were all him. There was no Slater, which is one of the people in the book. No one called Slater the bad guy, right? There was no woman detective. So my point is, people can have spirits to the point that they think that they're interacting with other people, but it is all within them, multiple personalities, demon personalities. I believe it's a demon personality, not just another aspect of your own personality that needs to be taught to live with the rest of your personality. I don't agree with that. And a lot of people teach that in dissociative disorders, you know, that's or MPD, which is what it used to be called, and that's what they teach it. Well, this is just another part of your personality. You need to learn to get all the personalities working together and living together. No, I believe it's multiple demon personalities. And these demons can even hit, bruise, and hurt and have sex with and cause accidents and other issues. And the person may even think it's other people and not even know that it is the demons doing it too. And not even know that it's within himself or herself. That's going on. Other times people may even think it's demons who hit them and beat them. And it is, but the demons are using the person's own hands and fists and arms to do it to them, to themselves. Other times, you know, claw marks and bite marks have appeared on people with these demons in them out of nowhere because the demons themselves are doing this to an individual. And so these are heavy-duty cases. Not everybody has these types of devils, but we've certainly seen them in people over all these years of doing deliverance. And so heavy-duty cases with people who need lots of deliverance to be set free, okay? And they have some strongholds in their life. Maybe some like you've never seen or heard of before, right? But they're nevertheless, demons do these things. And it's tragic to see some of the things that happened. I had a woman call me quite often because she would wake up with bruises all over her body and different things that the demon did to her during the night. See? And so she would think that the demons were, you know, just really coming and visiting her and doing all these things to her. And it could have been the demon doing it to her, but it was the demon in her, most likely, not outside demons coming to it. Right. And so, yeah, I had an unbeliever calling me too, who would always want me to bind the demons in her, because when I would start binding them, they would throw her around the room and abuse her, and she liked that. And so once I realized what she was up to, I quit letting her call me and get me to bind the demons for her and try to cast them out of her, because she didn't want them out. She just wanted to be entertained by them and abused by them because she had abuse spirits in her. And, yeah, so these things really going on out there, and a lot of people just ignorant about it. They're ignorant about the demon realm and what God told us not to be ignorant about. But anyway, we need to wake up. A stronghold blinds people's eyes or their minds so that they can't see the truth. And it's usually useless to try to argue with someone bound up by a stronghold because, you know, the more you argue, what's going to happen? The more you argue, the more convinced they are that they're right because, you know, they restate the lie every time the truth is spoken. Isn't that what these politicians are doing? Isn't that what the liberals are doing? Isn't that what Antifa and these different ones are doing? Every time the truth is spoken, they just restate the lie stronger and stronger and stronger, see? Only spiritual weapons can break down these strongholds, folks. Only spiritual weapons. And the power of God, you know, used by a believer in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Again, it says, "But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." See, what did Satan do? Notice the word minds again, right?
he beguiled them. How are minds corrupted? By having a stronghold built in it by the enemy, and being and that stronghold being allowed to stay there and proliferate in a person's mind. The corrupter brings corruption. Jesus openly used a spiritual weapon when Peter spoke. What did he do? He just spoke it out loud. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And you need to do that too. When some stronghold starts speaking to you out of somebody, or even you, rebuke that spirit out loud. Don't be afraid to speak out loud to that thing. Amen. The demons are going to hear you. The person, they may not even recognize it, what you said. But the demon will hear you, and they don't like that. They don't like that confrontation, see. But, hey, we need to confront them. Okay? So the corrupter brings corruption. The peacemaker, the lover, the God of love brings love, peace, purity into the mind. But the corrupter corrupts the mind. The corrupter comes into the mind to build a stronghold. These strongholds are built very subtly. They're done where you don't know they're being built many times, see, because the enemy works for years to fortify and form that stronghold in a person's mind and in their body, see, to keep them in bondage all their life if possible. And so most Christians do keep their demons, right? How many Christians you know out there getting deliverance in the local churches? Not very many, right? So how long do they keep their demons? All their life, right? Because they don't know about deliverance. They don't know how to get deliverance. Nobody in their church is even doing deliverance, right? So they keep their demons all their life until they go and be with Jesus. So it's sad. What could all these people be if they didn't have their demons? You ever think about that? How would their life work without all their demons? My. Yeah. So what do we do here? What are we going to do? So we've been given defensive armor, folks, and we've all been told we must put on the armor of God, which we just read listed in Ephesians 6. And there is much I could talk about on this, yet that is not quite the direction I'm going tonight, but I will sometime again. I have taught it in the past. So I'll say this only. Now, one of these is actually for going on the offense, one of these things that God gives us in Ephesians 6. What is it? You know what it is? It's the sword of the Spirit. Others are for our defense, for the evil day, the day of attack. And the evil day comes to everybody, okay? It's not just that we, having done all, we might stand in the evil day. But it's a fact of history that no army ever won a war when they were running on the defense all the time. It's always on the defensive. God didn't call us to be on the defense all the time. He didn't call us to live that way. They never won a war that way. And if we are only on the defensive mode, we shall never pull down the strongholds in our lives and the lives of other people. And we need to know that. I believe if a person desires to truly live the overcoming life, he's going to have to go on the offensive, first in their own life, then their family's life, see? But it starts with you. You've got to deal with what's in you and what's having a dominance in your life, that stronghold that's been there all these years, see? We're going to have to move out and actively attack Satan's kingdom. You know, I'm reminded of one of the subtitles of Win Worley's books, of his Harassing a Host of Hell books. It stands out of my mind. It was attack, attack, attack. See? So we need to quit waiting for the demons to do you in and trouble you. We need to go after them like a bulldog now. We need to attack, attack, attack until they start coming out, until they're tired of being in our lives, right? If you're sick, then start attacking infirmity spirits until the sickness gets weak and goes, see? I mean, hey, how long is it going to take? You know, a lot of people, they're weary of attacking the enemy. They say, how long is this going to take? I'm tired of this. Well, as long as it takes till the spirits leave, that's how long it takes. Sometimes it takes longer than other times, but still, you need to be relentless. The devils are relentless. Demons are relentless. They don't quit. Even if it takes 6 months, it's better than spending the rest of your life with those spirits in there, those spirits of infirmity tormenting your body, making you sick all the time. Isn't it? How many want to spend the rest of your life sick? Some people glory in their sickness. And they have organ recitals. Oh, yeah, my liver's upset. My heart's bothering me. You know, my stomach has, you know, and that's what they thought, you know, go to church and have organ recitals, right? Talk about what's wrong with everything in their body. They glory in their sickness. But, hey, why would we glory in the work of devil? There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden. Why would there have to be sickness in the believer, right? He said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. In Psalms 103, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquity and healeth all thy diseases. Amen. All of them. He didn't say some of them. He didn't say, just occasionally I'll heal one. No. He said, healeth all your diseases. Listen, these spirits are not playing games with you. Staying in you and staying in other people is exactly what they do, and they do it with a passion because that's what they are. They're demons. They want to be in somebody. They want to be in control of somebody so they can live out their life. So let's not play with these things. You know, they're not playing with us, so let's not play with them either. Keep on casting them out till they leave, you know, however long it takes. Yeah, what else you got to do? If you're not doing warfare, then what are you doing? You know, I've been binding and attacking the enemy in a certain area, you know, all week long. I've been after them, you know, and I'm going to see what God did. Amen? I'm going to see what he did. See, the fact is, one never wins a war by retreating or just holding one's ground. Well, I'm just going to hold the fort because Jesus is coming, and we'll just hold this fort. We'll hide in the four walls of our church till the rapture comes and get out of here. Right, right. You're just deceiving yourself. No, we need to stop that religious thinking of hold the fort, you know, for I am coming, and start thinking on the offensive, right? Most Christians say, duh, I wonder where the devil is going to hit me next. Well, it should be the devil wondering where you're going to hit him next, right? Where the Christian going to, you know, strike him next time, you know? So he get a little worried about you because he's afraid of you because he knows, you know, the weapons of your warfare, and they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God that are pulling down the strongholds, as we read a while ago in Corinthians, right? Amen, brothers and sisters. Amen. The righteous are bold as a lion. We're not the little meow kitty cat. No, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. And we ought to be living that out in our day-by-day life. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. We need to be on fire of God. We need the fire of God in our life. We need the Holy Spirit vitally living out his nature through us in our spirit. Let's go read another scripture in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. It says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what he said. He said, all authority is given to me. Therefore, you go. You go and exercise his authority on his behalf. Authority is only effective when it is exercised, right? So if you're not exercising your authority, if we don't exercise the authority he's given us, it'll remain ineffective. You know, I saw a state trooper pull over two cars today as I was out driving, and he just pulled up in front of the front one and had his lights on and made them both pull over together. And he pulled right out in front of me to do that, so I pulled quickly over to the right side of the road, but and let him do his thing there. But, you know, he was getting them both, two in one, you know, two for one. And so he pulled them both over. Evidently, they were speeding or something like that. It looked like it. And so, anyway, he exercised his authority. And they pulled right over. You know, if you exercise your authority on demons, you know, just like the state trooper stopped both those cars at once, they didn't try to get away. They didn't try to go on around him or anything, no. They pulled over, so, and demons are going to pull over too if you use your authority on them. Amen. Amen. But you got to use it. You got to be bold with it. You can't be ashamed of it. You can't be shy about it. You got to be bold with what God's given you. Amen. Hey, it's time. It's time to be bold. Look how bold the devil's been out there with those people that want to kill babies and those people that go out and try to pass all these ungodly things and force them on the people of America and other countries. They're not shy about it. Amen. Amen. So if we don't exercise the authority he's given us, it will remain ineffective in you. Even though it's available to you, it's going to be ineffective because you're not using it. You have to use what you've been given if you want it to work. Amen? Amen. So besides the sword of the Spirit, the word, let's look at some long-range weaponry. Number one is prayer. You been doing any prayer lately? Should be praying every day, right? And all throughout the day. I do. I don't think we should just pray once a week or something like that. No, we pray without ceasing, what the Word of God says. So when's the last prayer you made? Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer. In other words, all different kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. So Paul now moves from defensive to offensive. Probably prayer is the most effective weapon we have. We can attack Satan and his host anywhere by prayer. Remember the scripture, the prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. So don't think your prayers don't mean nothing to God. Don't mean that he don't hear your prayers. When you pray in faith and you're a righteous man or woman, they avail much. They're not just no count. They have no value. No, that's not true. They have great value. God hears the prayer of the righteous, as I said earlier. Angels go into action when the saints of God pray. Even the great warrior angels of God, the mighty warring angels of God, will go into activity. You know, they'll go into warfare for you on your behalf. And yet I'm talking serious prayer, intense prayer. I'm talking about using the blood of Jesus and the word of God and praying in tongues. You know, there are many types of tongues that you can pray in. I pray in warfare tongues sometimes. I pray in interceding tongues sometimes. I pray in worship tongues sometimes. I pray in prayer tongues sometimes when I just don't know how to pray for a situation. I just pray in the Spirit. And, you know, God will be praying through me what needs to be prayed about the situations and circumstances that I need to pray about. So there are many types of tongues that you can pray in. So we're talking about serious prayer, serious power against the enemy in life. Amen. And that's what we need, because he's serious about taking you down, taking you out, and getting demons in you and making strongholds. Not a little prayer like, now I lay me down to sleep, Lord, my soul to keep. Or God is good and God is great. Bless this food. And whatever, you know, how people pray grace at table or something and just go through the rote prayers, but it means nothing. You know, they're just doing the prayer. Now, prayer breaks through Satan's stronghold in the heavenly and people's minds and releases angelic and Holy Spirit intervention. And that's what we need. We need it in these days. We need angelic and spiritual intervention by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and working on our behalf. Remember, prayer delivered Peter out of prison by an angel, right? That's right. They were praying for Peter in the house and other places. I don't know how many places were praying, but they were praying. And what happened? An angel come and got him and took him to the house, right? Warfare prayer, deliverance prayer. You know, I cast out every demon from my house and property. That's something you ought to be doing, from your animals, your vehicles, your appliances, your bank account, your job. Come on, go on and take possession. Possession prayers are important. And many people never even pray the possession prayer. You know, you need to take a possession prayer and do possession prayer. Take possession of the land. Take possession of your home. Take possession of your appliances so Satan don't break them down. Take possession of your bank account. They think they own your money in your bank, if you have any in your bank, right? They think they own your job. They think they own you. Take possession at your job. Take authority, see? Oh, yeah. I take possession in Jesus' name of all that pertains to me in my life, and I cast out the spirit of these things in Jesus' name out of those things. Uh-huh. Amen. Have you possessed your body, soul yet? How about your pet? How about your bank account, your wallet, your purse, your car, your food, your home, your land, your business. Come on, folks. Satanic forces are fighting on all fronts right now. Why aren't we fighting on all fronts? Why aren't we taking back all that he has claimed to be the God, you know, claimed to be his, you know? All that he's claiming to be the God of, you know, the God of this world, claims to be the God of everything that pertains to you. And you got to inform him that that is simply not the case, devil. That's right. Amen. Take back your family. Take back your loved ones that the devil taken and claimed for his own. Take back all that he claimed, right? He says he's the God of the world, yet we have authority. And in this world, we have that authority to take back what God's given us, okay? Another important offensive weapon and long-range weapon is worship. Worship, how long has it been since you've worshiped God? Have you worshiped him today? Have you lifted up the high praises of God in your mouth and carried that two-edged sword around in your hand boldly? Have you done that today? I hope so. We need to praise God, you know, continually. It's the fruit of our lips, right? That's what the Bible says. Amen. Let's read some Psalms 8:2. Psalms 8:2. I'm turning here to pages as they're sticking together. There we go. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. See, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou has ordained strength. In other words, there's strength in our mouth against our enemy, that we can still the enemy, praise and worship. And another scripture goes with that. But Jesus quoted this scripture. But I go over to Matthew 21. He quoted this scripture when he was walking the earth, right? As Jesus, you know, the Son of God. But let's see here in Matthew 21. Getting there. Hallelujah. 21. Okay, you ready? Matthew 21, 15 and 16. 21, 15 and 16. I'm turning the page here again. All right, here we go. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful thing that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise? So praise is a mighty weapon. Notice Jesus answered them by quoting Psalm 8:2, which we first read, changing it just a little here in the New Testament. He's revealing here that the strength of God's people is worship and praise. It's a strength against our enemies, folks. Amen? Amen. It's a strength against our enemies. And we need to be using it and worshiping God, folks. Notice out of the mouth also. The mouth is the primary channel for launching the weapons that we have. Amen? So we need to be using our mouth, and we need to be using it powerfully against the enemy and the wiles of the devil to defeat him and stop him. And so notice he said, out of the mouth. Out of the mouth. Okay? It also speaks of infants and babes, those who have no natural strength of their own. So you're going to have to rely on God's strength. That's us. Listen, I'm totally reliant on the strength of the Lord. How about you? Listen, I could do nothing without him. I'm totally dependent upon the strength of the Lord. I can't make it without God. I can't live another day without him. I can't breathe another breath without him. I am totally dependent on God. That's true humility, when we get totally dependent on God for everything, for our day-by-day life, for our moment-by-moment survival. So you had total dependency upon the Father. Total dependency upon the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Amen. That's how life works, really. That's humility. Amen. Where is your humility? Well, you need to start really relying on God. Amen. Let me give you another scripture on praise here. Psalm 149, verse 6. It said, let the high praises of God be in the mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. I quoted that, but let's read the rest of it. verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Amen. See, listen, we have the authority to do that. And we're talking about spiritual kings, right? Because and which affects the physical kings, right? Amen. Amen. Are we doing that? Are we putting the, you know, are we binding them with chains? I bind you up with chains and your nobles, you know, the nobles, the high, the demons and the fallen angels in the high places, right? We're pulling down their strongholds. We're pulling them down. We're breaking their hold. We're binding them up. We're breaking their hold. Amen. We're binding them up in fetters of iron, putting chains on them, executing vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people in verse 9, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Didn't just say the saints of the Old Testament. It says all the saints, because they really weren't saints until Jesus died and rose from the dead, and then they were made, right, when he went down and preached to those in captivity, right? And so, hey, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So praise and the word together is a powerful weapon to bind the enemy. A quick way to break oppression around your home is to worship. Amen. You having a day of attack at your home, or you having a day of attack at your work, start worshiping and praising God loudly with your mouth. Amen. You know, maybe you can't do it so loud in certain places, but you can still do it. Yeah. Can I do it quietly in my heart? No, no. The weapons are sent by our mouth. Notice Jesus even used the word, your mouth. Yeah. In your mouth. Right? That's another long-range weapon here that we can talk about, preaching the word. Preaching the word. You mean, oh, I thought that just for the pastors and the preachers. No, everybody is the preacher of righteousness. Everybody is. You are. I am. If you're born again, you can tell somebody about Jesus. You say, well, I don't know enough. Well, you know more than most people do if you've been listening to this program. So you go, you know enough. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Think about that one. The word. So remember, the word says, preach the word in season, out of season. Remember that scripture? This is a command to all, not just pastors and preachers. All of us are to be preachers of righteousness. Again, remember, there are guaranteed results in preaching the word. It will not return empty or void. He said, my word that goeth out from me shall not return void. I'm not quoting exactly because I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, I think it's Isaiah 55:11. But anyway, it's like a hammer that breaks all rocks of resistance to the purposes of God. See? Let's read that. Jeremiah 23:29. My word is like a hammer. Remember that scripture, anybody? Have you read that? 23:29. It says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Wow. See how powerful his word is? Oh, I didn't know it was that powerful. Well, it's more powerful than you realize. We need to recognize and give recognition to the power of God's word. Yeah. Amen. See, Satan fears the preaching of the word. For the word from the heart of preached has supernatural power. That's right. The word from your spirit. When you preach it out of your spirit, when you tell somebody about Jesus, when you quote the word of God to them, it has supernatural power. Amen. And preaching the word includes deliverance. Mark 16, right? These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. They shall speak with tongues. In my name they shall cast out devils. See? Those that believe them will see the results of it. But if you don't believe in it and you criticize deliverance and you criticize speaking in tongues, then it's going to have no working in your life, no power in your life. Amen. You got to believe it. These signs follow them that believe, not those who don't believe. You don't believe in speaking in tongues, you're not going to have any speaking in tongues in your life. You don't believe in casting out devils, you're not going to cast out any devils, right? That's simple. These signs are signs for the believer. Let's go over and do the last one, testifying and witnessing. That's right, witness and testify in Acts 1:8. Remember that. Acts 1:8. And he told his people, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we're still bringing it forth to the uttermost part of the earth, right? People are. And to be an effective witness, we're going to have supernatural power in the day that we live in. I mean, the world wants to and needs to see a church with some power, with a supernatural God, the supernatural power manifesting through the church. Amen. And if they're not seeing that, we got to wonder, you know, they don't have much respect for that, you know, because they get power through Satan. Satan does signs and wonders. Remember, he did it back then with the magicians and the sorcerers throughout different kings. They called on the magicians, the sorcerers, the soothsayers. They call on the thing, and they would sacrifice their children to get demonic power. And the demons would be, the fallen angels would be empowered by their blood sacrifices and come and do things in their midst and help them to win victories and battles and stuff. So, hey, we got to have a supernatural church today because we're up against those same powers of darkness today. And if we don't manifest, you know, the power of God, then those powers of darkness are going to manifest their power and people are going to follow the devil instead of God. That's right. I mean, really, signs and wonders is the calling card of the gospel, right? I mean, you need to have signs and wonders. We need it. If we're preaching the gospel without signs and wonders, then we're not preaching the full gospel. The full gospel includes signs and wonders and miracles, and deliverance is a part of the signs and wonders and miracles. There's no deliverance. It's not the full gospel, right? Not the full gospel. So the world needs to see the full gospel for too long. All they've seen is a weak religious church. That's why many quit going to church. That's why they quit church and they mock us as they, you know, speak out, well, I was in the church, but I'm sure glad I'm not now. Well, yeah, well, you know, you got a devil. You done picked up something, right? Notice also Jesus did not say, you will witness, which is what a lot of cults and religious people say, like the Mormons. You know, well, they send them out two by two, the missionaries, and call them elders, but they're not even old enough to be an elder of anything. Maybe they're a cat or dog, but that's about it at that age. You know, they're not elders. They're not got any experience. You don't call somebody an elder that's a novice. Plus, they don't even have the true gospel. They got a false gospel and another Jesus. And they call them elder so-and-so and give them a black tie and a white shirt and send them out with their holy underwear and act like they're going to accomplish something. They don't have any power. They don't have any power. The power of the devil. There's no power of God there with the Mormon. No, they're manifesting a false Christ. Yeah. Which is, you know, there is no false, right? But the devil masquerades as a Christ sometimes, right? But yeah, Jesus didn't say which you will witness. He said you will be witnesses. Your life is a witness. It is a state of being. It is who you are, not just a track on a door or on a table or left on a phone or something or left out on a counter or in a restaurant or a table in a restaurant, even though you may do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but still, you are the witness. I am the witness. Okay? You know, it's not just a word we speak or a Book of Mormon or whatever. You know, it's ongoing. You know, we are transformed. Therefore, we are the witnesses. Right? And also, thirdly, notice that Jesus said to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. To the uttermost part of the earth. Uttermost. See? Is that a defensive-only church just holding the fort till the Lord comes and gets us all out of here? Oh, my. So come and quickly take me home. Yeah, right. We wanted to take us home, and we're looking for that day. But no, there's not going to be a secret rapture taking you out before things really get bad. No. The Bible said he brings us through the flood, through the fire, through it all. See? He brings you through it. Just like he took Noah through the flood. He didn't take him out of the flood. He said he floated above it, but he was there in the flood, right? And so we're going to go through the tribulation until the last trump when the Lord comes back. And you need the power of God to get through that. You need to be able to call down fire from heaven, right? You need to be able to speak the thing and say no rain, you know, just like Elijah was it that prayed that there'd be no rain. And he prayed earnestly that there would not be any rain, and there wasn't for a period of how many years? Yeah. Okay, so we need to be able to walk in that kind of authority, people. Amen. So this is not a defensive church. This is a highly on the offense church, a church on the advance, a church on the move. And the church is the people of God. It's not a building. Okay? Amen. All uttermost parts, right? All the uttermost parts. Yeah, there are no other weapons like the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. So use them with your mouth and use them all and believe them. And we must pull down the strongholds today. Somebody got to do it. And you're right here listening right now. Why aren't you pulling them down? You can go after them in the name of Jesus. You can do that. You are where you are because God had you there, right? And there are strongholds that are needing to come down. So let us be obedient. Let's go ahead and start tearing them down in Jesus' name. Remember, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to shut down the gates. We need to shut those gates. They're not going to prevail. And is it any wonder that Bill Gates is his name? We need to shut down those gates of hell in the name of Jesus. We have authority over the gates of hell. They will not prevail against us. And God, you know, the devil's sure using that Bill Gates and those gates of hell. But listen, they will not prevail against the church, right? Amen. This is the time to launch an all-out offensive on the enemy. He's certainly doing that on you. He sure launched an all-out offense on you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. He only cares about your demise and that you would become a house of his demons that will contain a bunch of devils. Until the day you die, then they'll just go transfer to somebody else when they're done with you. Your old body passes on, and now they're going looking for someone else's body. Yeah, his strongholds in the minds of the unsaved and the saved. You know, we have to pull them down. Amen. Pull them down. Cast them out. Your mind must become your mind, not some devil's mind, not some demon's mind that they claim is their territory. We need to claim and take back our minds. You know, that battleground's got to be taken from the enemy. And it's sad that many of us are stabbed in the back by soldiers who should be fighting with us against the enemy instead of fighting against one another. But see, that's what the enemy does. He'll turn us on one another. He'll try to turn you on your brothers and sisters. He'll try to turn you against your beloved brother in the Lord and your beloved sister in the Lord. And he'll try to turn you into fighting against one another. And see, that way you're not fighting against him. And so he's real happy when you fight in fighting among Christians, in fighting in the churches. He's real happy about that. Oh, yeah, he's glad to see you sitting there blasting each other, wounding each other, stabbing each other in the back, and gossiping about people behind their back, and blah, 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 blah. Did you hear the latest about so-and-so? Yeah, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, slander them. Yeah, come on now. And we got a lot of wounded Christians, wounded by their own, which we ought to be, you know, recognizing that we are the body of Christ and we're fighting together against the enemy, not, you know, against ourselves. I mean, anybody that starts consuming itself will die, right? And so we can't be consuming our own selves. We can't go around blasting each other instead of the enemy, because we know that any bad in us is coming from the enemy because we chose to receive it from him. So it's sad that many of us just in that condition, right? This is going to have to cease, though. We need to use our spiritual weapons against the spirits that cause this type of behavior and pull it down. Amen? Pull it down. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold in the churches today that people devour one another. They turn on one another. They have that spirit of offense against somebody. And they'll just try to, you know, go after them. So quit letting your mind be your biggest enemy and keeping you in bondage all the time. Break free from those strongholds and the lies And then vain imaginations that you have accepted into your mind. How many vain imaginations have you accepted as truth, and now you're having to live in those vain imaginations thinking that's the way God is, that's the way life is, when it's not? But see, you don't know it, see, because it's a self-deception that you got into a stronghold in, and you can't even see that it's a vain imagination because you've accepted it as truth. See, a lot of people are accepting a lot of things that are as truth when they're nothing but a lie. But see, Satan comes, you know, as an angel of light trying to bring a bunch of stuff that's nothing but a lie because he's the father of lies, but he'll try to bring it to you and present it as the truth, but it's still a lie. Even though people receive it as the truth and act like it's true, it doesn't change the fact that it's still a lie, right? And it'll always be a lie because a lie cannot become a truth if it's a lie, right? And so no matter how much they propagate a lie as a truth, it's always going to be a lie. And it's always going to bring about a measure of bondage, even if you believe it as a truth. And people believe a lot of things about the Word of God that are inaccurate in their lives that Satan has propagated of, you know, different superstitious beliefs about things and different ridiculous ideas about things or legalistic views of things that he has twisted and presented as the truth. Because not only does the Holy Spirit teach us, but Satan is trying to teach the people of God too. But he's trying to pervert the truth. And many people have received it. Many people have believed things, you know, that are just totally inaccurate. Like the Church of Christ. They don't have music in the church. They won't play an instrument. They just sing a cappella. That denomination, they say they're not a denomination, but they are. The Churches of Christ, they're all over the country. And they say that, you know, and they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believe that the last miracle quit when the last apostle died, and there are no more signs and wonders than miracles today. So, you know, when I talk to them, I talk to them about miracles, signs, and wonders, right? And just try to, you know, yeah, that shuts them down pretty quickly, too, because they write you off as a heretic because they're taught a lie, see, and they believe it is the truth. And we could go on and on with different denominational beliefs that are lies that the enemy has weaved into their denomination. And they believe it as the truth when it's not the truth, folks. It's just simply not the truth, but it's just another lie by Satan. So, hey, don't be your own enemy. Joining in with your enemy, the demons, resist them and they're going to flee. Give them place and entertain them and they will proliferate and hang around and bring in their buddies too. How many know that demons have a lot of buddies? And they may not be friends, but they have people that work with them, and they'll call them in. If there's open doors in a person's life, they'll call in some other demons, and people do get more of an infestation of demons. Yeah, that's right. Lots of demons hanging around. Believers, sad to say, you know, I know I've been witnessing that for 38 years and casting demons out of fellow believers for 38 years now. It's not something I just started yesterday. It's not something I don't have any experience with. I've been doing this a long time. And I'm not boasting on me. I'm boasting on Jesus because, you know, anybody that has to deal with demons as much as we've dealt with demons over 38 years, you know, probably be worn out if they didn't have the power of God in them because they try. You know, who wants to deal with demons all the time? But you know what? If you don't deal with them, they're going to deal with you. That's the other side of the story that a lot of people don't know and that a lot of people don't think about. If you're not dealing with the demons in your life, they're dealing with your life. They're messing your life up. They're just messing with your head. They're building strongholds in you. So when are you going to start fighting? You know, many Christians think they know about demons, but usually they know so little and have religious superstitions about them, like if we don't bother them, they won't bother us. That's a lie, of course. Or if we don't fight them, they will leave me alone. If I don't fight them, they'll leave me alone. Wrong. They'll just dig in deeper. But this is all out war, folks. And it's not going to go away permanently until Jesus comes. So don't you think maybe that possibly you owe it to yourself to obey the word of God and not be ignorant of Satan's devices today? We need to learn to live a Jesus life, a life that is spiritual, a life that could be an overcomer's life, see? What kind of life are you living? Are you living a Jesus life or are you living a worldly life? The Bible says love not the world, the things that are in the world, but the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. So listen, we can learn more from the Jesus life. We need to have the Jesus life. We can learn more from Ephesians 4 on the Jesus life and how to live a Christian life. Let's go to Ephesians 4:17. 4:17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. So here's the condition, folks. This is telling us how to not walk as believers. See, he's written this to believers that should know better than this, but they were walking this way or he wouldn't have told them that. Notice they live in the vanity or the futility of the mind, which is in Greek, five senses, basically. That's what it means, the five senses, the futility of the mind or the human understanding, which, of course, is carnal. Right? Therefore, sense rule. If you're ruled by the senses, you're not being ruled by the spirit. I guarantee you. You're ruled by the flesh. You're not walking in the spirit, and you won't overcome the lust of the flesh that way either. So the fact is that Paul is by the spirit telling us not to walk or to live this way is proof to us that Christians can and do live in the vanity or the futility of the Gentile mind, which is the carnal mind, even according to their flesh. Or their demons, right? Because he just told us this. He's writing to Christians, and he's exhorting us. He's exhorting us to not walk any longer in the vanity of our mind. As I say and testify to the Lord, that you henceforth, in other words, quit walking. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. But you have not so learned Christ. So if we haven't learned Christ that way, then why do we want to go back and go back to living as a Gentile, as a lost person, once we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good? See? Amen. Why would you do that? See, verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life. That's what that word conversation means, the former way of living, the former manner of life. How many Christians have not put off all the former manner of life? They haven't put off the former demons that they had either, okay? They haven't done it, see? The former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust that is in the old man, right? So we haven't put them away. What's going on? See, Christians must actively put off the way of life of the world, which is the old man. See, these lusts which directed our lives before we were Christians have snuck back into so many, and some of them, you know, never even, you know, stop doing what they're doing, and Christians, you know, come into Christianity loaded with these deceitful lusts. They're loaded with these things, these sneaky and deceitful things that are in them, therefore being as deceiving as they are, could again ensnare a Christian if he's not actively putting them off and casting them out. See? So are you putting away those deceitful lusts? Are you dealing with those things? Or are you letting them things rise up in you? See? Look at it says, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, that is anananeo, and it means to reform, to renovate. Have you renovated your mind? Have you reformed your mind? This is speaking of reforming our attitude too, the spirit of our mind, the attitude of our mind. See, before it was always, what's in it for me, see? Before, for a lot of people, it's still, you know, as a Christian, it's what's in it for me. You know, if there's nothing in it for them, they don't want no part of it, see? If there's nothing in the church for them, they don't want any part of that. See, they go to church because it's what's in it for me, see? What am I getting? You know, rather than going to just worship God and minister unto God. And if you do minister to God and worship God, he's going to minister unto you. I guarantee you that. Because he loves you and he knows, you know what the word says. You give unto him and you honor him. He's going to bless you. Right? You put him first in your life, he's going to bless you. But anyway, what we see is that, well, now I'm the Lord's servant. So how can I please him? See, that's the way it should be. Not always what's in it for me. What am I going to get out of it? You know, or before you were ruled by deceitful lust, then you reform that attitude of the mind that allowed those lusts to rule and begin practicing walking in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the deceitful lust of the flesh, see, any longer. be by the grace of God you can do that. See, but not by the ability of man. You know, you can have a spirit of the mind of lust or of poverty, of a poor me, of self pity, of inferiority, or any of Satan's deceitful flesh lust. You can have the spirit of the mind of poor me. You can go around all your life a victim mentality. A lot of Christians I've met over time have had that victim mentality, you know. It's all about me. You owe me this. The government owes me this. People owe me this. People in the church owe me this. And, you know, they'll drop little suggestions. Well, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to pay the rent this month. Or, you know, I sure need a new car. Or I sure need a new boat. Or, you know, I need new clothes. And they'll drop these little things and talk about their needs and everything. And people feel compelled that they have to give to them because, after all, this is my brother or sister, and they're telling all these needs they have. So I better do something that puts pressure on them. And this is how a lot of Christians manipulate other Christians to give to them. See? Dropping little suggestions out there about their needs and that this, that, and the other. You know, I don't tell my needs. You know, I don't go around blasting my needs, saying about my needs. No, I just pray about it. And, you know, God can deal with somebody or he won't. I mean, it's up to God. I put it all in God's hand, and he provides. One way or another, he'll provide. He'll meet the need. But he said he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory by one Christ Jesus. Amen. And, you know, if Christians would be more sensitive to one another, they'd know the needs of our brothers and sisters. They would know the needs, and they'd know what they needed to do to help one another. I really believe that, too, because God told me things before to do to help people, and I've done them, you know. Amen. Amen. Let's go on and read verse 24 here in Ephesians 4, where we're at. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man, which is created how? After God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We better remember our new man. We better remember what our spirit is created as. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. Whoa, did you hear that? That's a really powerful statement. The holiness of truth, you know, is another meaning of true holiness, you know. He said, which after God is created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. Truth, pure truth is holy. If it's because God said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Is God holy? Well, yes. Yeah, so pure truth is holy. And so we need to put on the new man. The new man is the recreated, new born-again spirit, the regenerated spirit, which is the nature of God because it was birthed of God. So what is it? It's like God because it was birthed of God. Right? The new, notice it says, which after God is created. See, it's created right after God. Your spirit, the new born again spirit, created after God in righteousness and holiness of truth. See, that's what's been done. So the new man, the new recreated spirit, has God's nature because it was born of God. How many know if a baby was born of you, then it has some of your nature, right? It has your nature. It was born of you. So what happens if we're born of God? We have the nature of God in us. It may be laying dormant in there, but nevertheless, it is in your spirit. He is in your spirit. The nature of God, the righteousness of God is in your spirit. You might not be manifesting it. You might not be believing in it, but nevertheless, if you're truly born again, it is available and it is in your spirit right now. For most, though, it's easier to allow the former to live than the new man and to put on your spirit life. See, most people are letting the old life live. Most people are living out of their flesh, out of their five senses, out of the carnal nature, rather than living out of their spirit, the new man. So what's in this for me? Why am I here in my city? How come all this is happening to me? God has let me down. You always feeling like a failure and a mess. You're a vile person and a sinner. You're feeling that about yourself all the time. See, where's that coming from? That's not coming from the new man. That's coming from what's in the flesh. No good thing dwelling in there. That's coming from the carnal nature. That's coming from a demon talking in you. That's coming from a stronghold. All these things are rooted in deceitful lust of the old man. Lust to do good from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, I won't do that good. I'm going to do good and I'll be right with God if I just do good from that tree. No, you're at the wrong tree. Got to go to the right tree. The tree of life is Jesus. We live and feed on the tree of life. Remember, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, in other words, if you don't feed on the tree of life, Jesus, you have no part in him, he said. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Oh, my. Have no part in me. No part in me. So, listen, we got to be on the right tree. Don't take that religious tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, it's good. I'm doing just the good of that tree, but it's still always going to be the wrong tree, see? And so many religions are built on the good of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? They take the good and shun the evil, see? And they think that's what's making them good people. But there is none good but God. And so God is dwelling in my spirit. So my spirit is good because God won't dwell in something that's bad. That's why he regenerated my spirit. He regenerated your spirit so that he can live there and he made it good. He made that which was dark and evil and living in darkness, wandering around as a zombie in the face of the earth. He made it alive with him and he made it good. God makes all things beautiful in this time, right? He made your spirit beautiful because he made it like him. He that has joined the Lord is one spirit with God. Your spirit is one spirit with God's spirit. So therefore it has to be good because God is good. And he won't dwell with evil, right? He dwells in your spirit. He doesn't dwell in the mind, will, and emotion, which is the soul, which contains the heart. And the heart is the entryway into the spirit, see? Into your spirit, your human spirit, where Jesus dwells, but still the spirit doesn't have any evil in it. Like it says in 1 John, remember I told you before, it says the spirit doesn't sin, where the seed of God is doesn't sin, but he's not dwelling in your flesh, he's not dwelling in your body, he's dwelling in your spirit, he's not dwelling in your soul, he's dwelling in your spirit. See? Amen. Souls have lust to be in control of one's own life and future. Wait a minute. I thought when we got saved, we gave our life to the Lord. Yeah, why are we lusting to be in control of our own life and our own future? We need to let God have his way with us. Lust to have a pity party. And lust to be selfish. And lust to steal. Or lust to lie. Can you see this? Deceitful lust can and do rule over Christians today. And I'm running out of time, and I haven't even got near being done with what deceitful lust can and do rule Christians. It is God's will that they don't. Ephesians 4:27. Again, let's read it. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. This is very interesting scripture here. Neither give place to the devil. It clearly tells us several things. Topos. That word place is room, a place that something or someone occupies, an opportunity place or a quarters. So don't give a quarter to the enemy. Don't give an opportunity to a demon. Don't give a place for the enemy to occupy. So he clearly is telling us that a believer can actually give a ground or a room to the enemy and his control in their life, and it can become a stronghold. And this shuts the mouths of those who say Christians cannot be oppressed or under the influence and control of demons or vexed or influenced by the demonic. Yeah. Like a lot of Christians, oh, Christian can't have a devil. He can't cross the bloodline. Well, the blood is in our spirit, and we apply the blood out of our spirit to other parts of us that demons are to attack the enemy and to blast them and to cast them out. We use the power of the blood in the name of Jesus and the word of God against the enemy. But the blood has cleansed our spirit. The blood is in our spirit. That's where we draw the blood up out of because we're priests of God and we have the blood available. But not every believer is using the blood correctly either. Okay? So anyway, that's another story. So let's finish this up here because I'm not going to be able to do it all. But anyway, it's clearly stated as a command to not give quarters to the enemy. How can you give quarters to the enemy? Well, there's so many ways that I can't even mention them all, but we give place by not allowing the Holy Spirit to have his place in our lives and to come up and manifest up out of our spirit. That's one way we surely give place to the enemy. Amen. Finally, I'm going to close here out of Ephesians 5 here. We've got to come down for landing here. Ephesians 5, let's read 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Imitators, followers, mimenti. That's the Greek word here, mimenti. And it means imitators, to be, to become. in the continuous sense. And the same word is used in 1 Corinthians 11:1, which I'll read that to you real quick too here so we finish this. It said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Same word, same Greek word, followers, imitators. Right? Same Greek word, mimeti. Right? In other words, as we imitate Christ, we become as he is in the continuing sense to be like him. Well, how do we become imitators? We walk in love. He is love. God is love. And as we walk in love, what do? We walk in light. And because he is light, and the light pushes away the darkness and transforms the darkness into light. Right? See? So to live in the spirit is to live in love and by love and be ruled by love because God is love. We're going to be ruled by God, right? A love-motivated and directed person is a thankful person, too. And a thankfulness is the key to staying free from the deceitful lust of the enemy, the demons that work with those deceitful lusts. Listen, Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. Let me read it. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving up thanks, see? Instead of those things, we start giving thanks and we put those things to flight, see? Rather giving up thanks, rather than fornicating, rather than lusting, rather than looking at porno and masturbating and all that stuff. No, no, no. What do? No, you start giving thanks, see? You rather give thanks rather than filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, which people think it's convenient, but it's not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, see? Rather giving thanks. Thanksgiving and worship to God keeps you from these vile things that are listed here. You can't be doing them both at the same time. So in dealing with the world and carnal Christians, you need to walk circumspectly, right? Circumspectly. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time and walk circumspectly. This means to walk cautiously, to walk sensitively, right? Sensitively, as one would walk barefoot. If you're walking through a thorny or rocky terrain, if you're walking barefoot, you want to walk sensitively and cautiously. See, and God is telling us to walk circumspectly. See, cautiously through this world and sensitively, sensitive to the things that are going on around you, sensitive to the spirits that are in active action around about you, see. Walk sensitively, you know, like you're walking barefoot through a thorn field. And then finally, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be smoking a bunch of weed, drinking a bunch of liquor, drinking all this wine and stuff. No, don't be drunk on that, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. See, the Greek tense here for being filled is not just a one-time thing, but a continually being filled. It's not one time being filled. We're continually being filled. We're letting that Spirit of God rise up in us. Let God arise, remember, and his enemies will be scattered. We need to let the Spirit of God rise up in our out of our spirit and keep rising up and keep rising up and keep rising and filling us and filling us and filling us and rising up, and therefore what happens? We're filled up with the Spirit and not drunk with the wine of Babylon and of the world, right? And they're not having dominion over us. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. We're going to stop here. Hallelujah. Is there anything we need more than to stay filled with God? Amen. Let's stay filled. Let's get rid of those strongholds in our lives. Let's be bold. Let's be bold, people. Let's resist the enemy. The blood of Jesus right now. We apply that blood. Thank you for the blood over our minds right now. We take back our mind. Just say, I take my mind back in Jesus' name. We said out loud to the enemy, I've taken my mind back in Jesus' name. I'm breaking your strongholds down in Jesus' name. I'm pulling them down in Jesus' name. I'm applying the blood over my mind. I can command these demons in my mind to come out of my mind. In the name of Jesus, come out of my mind. Quit dominating in my mind right now. Put your hand on your mind. Put your hand on your head. Come out of my mind. I'm not letting you dominate my head anymore, my mind anymore. I take authority over you. Just tell them, I take authority over you. You're not going to be the dominant force in my mind. You're not going to be the dominant power in my mind. You've got to speak to these things. Let them know who's the boss. They're not the boss. You're the boss. In Jesus, you're the boss over them. In Christ Jesus, I have authority over you. And I take the authority over the spirits in my mind and tell them, this is my mind, it's not your mind. You're coming out now in Jesus' name. I take back my mind from you, devil, in Jesus' name. Tell them. Tell them, Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that this is our mind. It's not the devil's mind. That we have a mind of Christ also in our spirit. That we can rise, let that mind rise up to ascendancy in our lives, see? And we can put on that new man, that new mind, the mind of Christ. We put on the new Christ mind. We put it on in the fit of the mind of the carnal nature, the old man, that with all of its deceitful lust. We're going to put on the mind of Christ. Let it be the dominant force in our life. Doesn't mean we still don't need to cast out demons. Doesn't mean we still don't take ground from the enemy, but we're letting the mind of Christ be the dominant mind. We're not letting the old man with his deceitful lust be the dominant mind any longer. Thank you, Lord. By the grace of God, we put on the new man, the new man, the new mind, and refuse to let the old mind be the dominant mind. The old mind with its deceitful lust, deceitful ways. In Jesus' name, we say, we call it so. We speak it so over ourselves right now. Just say it. I speak it so over myself right now. In Jesus' name, I speak it so. I thank you, Jesus, that it is so. And I give you all the glory, God. I give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Father God, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you. We magnify you. We magnify your name, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. All right. Praise God. So we're going to come back and do some deliverance for the rest of the program, but we'll take a short little intermission here, and then we will come back, and then we will do some deliverance. All right? Okay.
Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who is it? Steadfast in the faith. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who is it? Steadfast in the faith.
Praise the Lord. Don't give place to the devil. That's what we've been talking about, and that's what that song's about, right? So let's not be doing that. Let's resist the devil. He will flee. We know the word is true. Now, some of you just resist him one time and nothing happened. Well, you're not resisting persistently enough. You got to go for it and keep going for it until the enemy backs off. Amen. And sometimes that takes a little while. Sometimes that takes, you know, casting and binding and loosing for a little while. And for he finally backs off. You got to put the pressure on him, and he knows you mean business. And off he goes, man. He's not going to keep on when he knows you're persistent. He knows you're a bulldog on him. Attack, 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 right? Like Brother Worley's book there. All right, let's go and do some attacking here tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's go after some spirits here and get them out. All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We just come against and renounce all manner of disobedience right now. Maybe you disobeyed God when you had your fortune told, or palm read, or tea leaves, crystal ball, or tarot cards, or some other type of thing, astrology. Maybe you read your horoscope. But we just rebuke that disobedience and command those spirits to go. Right now, come out in the name of Jesus. Right now, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your hold right now. Come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out all the way out. We renounce those things. We renounce the spirit of disobedience. Getting in agreement with this spirit of disobedience and command it to go right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out all the way out. All that disobedience, causing you to be disobedient and not even want to obey God and do Bible study or pray or anything. We command the spirit of disobedience to come out. Come out. Spirit of disobedience, spirit of rebellion, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Maybe you were hypnotized. We command all hypnotism to go. Hypnotism, go in Jesus' name. Go. Come out. 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 Come out, laziness, spirit of laziness and procrastination. We come against those spirits. Spirits of laziness, being lazy. Well, the spirits try to make you lazy, not want to work, not want to do anything. We bind you. We break your hold. We command you to come out, lazy spirits. Come out. Come out. Come on, all the way. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, lazy spirits. I bind those lazy spirits right now in the name of Jesus. Command them to come out, laziness. We break the curse, inherited curse. Sometimes you don't know why you're that way. It's a generational curse. We break the generational curse of laziness. We break the generational curse of procrastination and command it to come out now. In the name of Jesus, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, we break the curse of water witching or dowsing. Yeah, we break that curse. You've been water witching, dowsing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometry, and automatic writing. Come out. Come on, all the way out. Astral projection, you go. All these other demonic skills, whichever one you've been involved in, we break the curse of it right now. These demonic skills, these things that are done by the power of demons, not by the power of God, you come out. 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 Come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, just renounce all books that you ever read from any of these fields, the demonic fields, the secret of the universe, or these other things to try to give you power in the universe to get wealth and all that. Now, that's a lot of that rooted in the occult. And we command those spirits to go from any of those books that you read and picked up those spirits. Go, any occult book, any New Age book. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break the curse over you from the New Age book. Come out, come out. We break any witchcraft over you from the New Age book. Come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Psychology, philosophy, come out. Any of them that deny Jesus, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break those spirits whole. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Catholicism, come out. Those spirits of Catholicism and Mormonism, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. The blood of Jesus against you right now. All the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out. Come out. All these spirits, you have to come out. We're talking to you, demons. You come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. You study psychology in school. You study philosophies in school. Come out. Come out all the way out. All those foreign philosophies that don't lift up Jesus, that lift up man. Demons are involved in that. Psychology, demons are involved in that. come out, all the way out, go, 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 come out in Jesus' name, go, all the way out in Jesus' name, loosen and let them go, come out in Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. Get out of the place you're living in right now. Any spirits that are residing in your home or in your place where you're at, the room you're in right now, you come out of there right now. We cast you out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go all the way out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out now. Come out. All those spirits in the room with you, you come out of the room. The bino spirits that are in physical items in your room, come out. In your house, come out. Oh, maybe you need to get rid of some things in your house. You need to do a house cleaning, some of you. Come out, all the way out. All the way out, that childish spirit, you come out. Temper tantrum, childishness, come out. Sulking, self-pity, you come out. Right now, childish spirit, I bind you. You come out, those childish spirits acting like a child. You're 50 years old and acting like a child still. Come out, that's a demon, a childish spirit, arrested development. You haven't developed, you haven't matured in those areas where you're acting like a child still. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All those childish spirits, temper tantrums, sulking, come out, self-pity, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Maybe you're reverting to the bottle, you're substituting things for the baby bottle, like alcohol or smoking weed or cigarettes. Come out. Or chasing women around, or maybe your hobbies, or whatever. You know, we just break that curse. Or trying to date older men, or something. Trying to find a father figure in a man to fulfill something that only God can fulfill. Come out, come out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out now. Go all the way out. Come out of there. All the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus, right now you have to go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out of there. Keep coming out of there. I bind you. I break those childish spirits. I break their arrested development. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Some of you have ungodly soul ties to your parents still. Ungodly soul ties. Their control is still over you, or something they have is still dominating in your life. We break that soul ties with your ungodly parents in Jesus' name. Even some godly parents have some wrong soul ties. They have spirits of control and domination over you. We break those domination. We break those soul ties, the ungodly ones. We cut and sever them and break them off and command the spirits to go that are keeping those ties tied in there with you, that you're keeping you tied in together with that. You come out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Right now, loose them and let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, you got to go. If you have a Jezebel mother, you could become, under her control, under her dominance, become even helpless. We break that control in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. You can even pick up masculine spirits sometimes. You know, if the Jezebel dominated or your dad may have wanted you to be a boy and you were a girl and he called you things and things that would be toward masculinity. We break those curses right now in Jesus' name and command those masculine spirits to come out of you. If you're a female, if you picked up masculine spirits, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And sons sometimes pick up feminine characteristics from their mothers and from dad's rejection. Sometimes they become homosexual. Come out, all the way out, all the way out because of dad's rejection. They go looking for a father and other men, and they become homosexual sometimes. That way, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All those spirits, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Others, they want to become playboys or conquer women and be over, you know, always chasing women. Chasing women. Yeah, never stay with one for too long. Go from woman to woman. We break that curse over you. Come out. In Jesus' name, come out, 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 all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All pride, religious pride, spiritual pride, all kinds of pride, family pride. Come out, pride. Come out, pride. Right now, we're talking to pride tonight. all those prideful spirits, I bind you. You come out now. Come out now. Prideful spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All those prideful spirits, spirit of pride, little pride, big pride, family pride, racial pride, come out, come out. Ancestral pride, come out in the name of Jesus. All those pride spirits, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there right now. Go in the name of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus against you right now. The blood of Jesus against these spirits. You have to go. Overeating, come out right now. Sweet tooth, come out, come out, come out, come out. Controlled by sugar, come out. We break that curse. Controlled by junk food, controlled by sugar, come out in Jesus' name. Overweight, getting the spirit of overweight, trying to get you to gain weight, come out. No discipline in your diet, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, all those spirits, the undisciplined diet, come out. Come out of it. Undisciplined diet, undisciplined. You don't discipline what you eat. You have no discipline about what you put in your mouth. You can't fast. You can't go on a 3-day fast or a 1-day fast or a 7-day fast. You come out of there because your diet controls you, your appetite controls you. We break the power of that appetite demon. Come out, come out, and come out. All those appetite demons, uncontrolled appetite, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Sugar addiction, come out of there. All that lust to eat and eat and eat and eat, come out. It's easy to do. You could be comfort food. You eat because you feel bad and you had a bad day and you just stuff your face. We break that curse. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, the spirit of being troubled. Sometimes you just feel troubled. You don't know why you're troubled, but you feel troubled a lot. We command that spirit of trouble, being troubled. You have to come out of there right now. A spirit of being troubled, I bind you. I bind you. Come out. Just feeling troubled. Why am I troubled? I don't know why I'm troubled, but I feel troubled. You come out of there right now. All that feeling troubled, you come out in the name of Jesus right now. I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. That troubled spirit, feeling troubled. Troubled for not knowing why you're troubled, just feeling troubled about this, troubled about that. Demons are tormenting you. That troubled spirit, come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus right now, come out, come out. Insomnia, you can't sleep at night, you come out too, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Some people get very little sleep, they can't sleep. We command that spirit that's keeping them awake at night, we come against you and command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. That sleeplessness, come out. Sleepless spirit, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Sleepless spirit, come out of there. Insomnia, come out. Come out. Restlessness, come out. Come out. Restlessness, can't just relax and spirit to keep you restless, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Can't get a good night's sleep. This physical thing that's bothering you, we command that physical thing, that spirit causing you, messing with your sleep, to come out. Come out right now. Come out all the way out. All the way out. That physical spirit that's messing with you physically, come out. And mentally, come on, the anxiety, come out. Come out. The stress spirit, come out. Anxiety and stress, come out, 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 come out. Come on out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out. All that stress, all that anxiety, the Lord rebuke you, I rebuke you, come out. Come out, all that stress, all that anxiety, come out. Come out, 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 in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all the way out. All that stress, all that anxiety, come on out, up and out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. We break your hold, come out, come out. Spirit of offense, being offended by someone, come out. All that spirit of offense, carrying around the spirit of offense, I command that spirit to come out right now. Spirit of offense, all that offense, being offended by someone, come out, come out, and walking around in the offense. Come on, in Jesus' name, that's a spirit. You pick it up. You got to get it out now. Come on. If you want it out, you can keep them if you want them. You know you can. That's up to you. You can keep as many demons as you want. They'll accommodate you as long as you want them there. Come out. All that spirit of offense, come out. Come out now. Come out now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Spirit of offense, go. Spirit of offense, come out. 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 Come out of there. All that offense. Go. 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 In Jesus' name. We come against any spirits of blackouts. Talking to somebody this week that said he just blacked out in Walmart, just blacked out and fell out. Next thing he knew, somebody was lifting his head off the floor or something. He was on the floor looking up. He come out of there. All those blackout spirits, we command those blackout spirits to go in the name of Jesus, having blackout. And the root problem behind it, we come against that too. Physical problem, whatever it may be that caused the blackout, we command you to come out. Come out, the spirits that causing the blackouts. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. Forgetfulness too, you come out. Forgetting things, come out. All that forgetfulness, memory problems, come out of the memory, come out of the mind, that forgetfulness, forgetting things. I bind you, come out. We break the curse of forgetfulness over you. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Right now, I bind you, forgetfulness. You come out of there, up out of there, up out of there, out, 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 all the way out. All that forgetfulness, spirit, all that memory loss, come out. Spirit that's trying to mess with your memory, come out. All the way out, memory loss, come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, you have to go, memory loss. Jesus' name, brokenheartedness, you come out. Brokenheartedness, something happened, broke your heart, something. Yeah, we command that brokenheartedness to go in Jesus' name, in a relationship or however the brokenheartedness comes. You come out right now, all the way out, brokenheartedness, go in Jesus' name, brokenheartedness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out now, all the way out, all the way up out of there. The brokenhearted spirit, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out of there. Move in Jesus' name, move in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Dissatisfied, you come out. Dissatisfaction, come out. I bind that dissatisfaction. You come out of there in the name of Jesus. You want to be able to be fulfilled in life, but there's just that chronic dissatisfaction operating in your life. You're never satisfied. Nothing seems to bring fulfillment. All that dissatisfaction, come out. Come out. And, hey, if you're not seeking Jesus, no wonder nothing brings fulfillment. You got to seek the Lord with all your heart. Come out, all the way out. Come on, all that dissatisfaction, go. In Jesus' name, come out. Come on, all that dissatisfaction, you have to go. I bind you, I break your hold, break your control over people now. In Jesus' name, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way up out of there in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there in Jesus' name. And last but not least, that anger, you come out. Anger, come out, all anger. Come on, all the way out, all that anger in there, all that anger. I bind you, anger, come out. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. We command that anger to come out. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. We break the power of that anger, that inherited anger from your mother, your father, your grandparents. All that anger, come out. All that rage and anger, the explosive temper tantrums, come out. All that anger, come out, 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 come out. We break the curse, come out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus now, you have to go all the way out. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for the deliverance time we had and the good time in the Word and all that you shared with us. And we appreciate it all, Father. We thank you for the working of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you for making us powerful men and women of God. Lord, we're blessed people. And Lord, we're going to go be a blessing. And we thank you for the grace to do that. And we thank you for sealing this deliverance to those who receive deliverance tonight, Father. And bless them, Lord, and minister to every listener in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Folks, we thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for being here. And the Lord bless you this weekend and give you a blessed week next week. And we'll see you back here next Friday night. What am I saying? But, yeah, we'll see you back here next Friday night, 6 o'clock. God bless you. You have a blessed evening. And bye-bye now. Good night now. Thank you for tuning in. Love each one of you. Good night.